My name is Katrina Ward. I'm here today talking with Charlotte Hugart. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah.
Okay. And she used to live in and own the house that I currently live in. Hello. The house is in Oklahoma City on the northwest side. And Charlotte's grandparents were actually the first owners after the house was built. And my partner and I are the sixth owners. And I'm working on chronicling as much of the history of the house as I can. So I'm really excited to be talking with Charlotte today.
And I'm excited to be talking with you. I've been telling everybody what I'm going to do.
That's so fun. Okay, so just to start a little bit with your grandparents, their names were Grace and Lyle, correct?
Right, Hugart.
Okay, cool. I found actually the 1940 census records with them on it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And Grace was 46 at the time and Lyle was 43. And it said they were born in Illinois. Is that correct?
Yes, in Mattoon. Actually, maybe just outside of Mattoon for my grandmother, because her farm was in a place called Gays, G-A-Y-S, Illinois. And I only was there once.
That's cool.
Pretty farm.
Yeah. So they met in Illinois and then they moved here?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Do you know how they met?
I think they just knew each other from school or from being around town. It's a pretty small town in Mattoon. And I wish I had double checked with my mom before this question. But I believe that when my grandmother's mother died, I believe my grandmother was 20, and she was still considered a minor because 21 was the age of majority. And her grandmother, Ritter, I think she'd remarried. It might have been Grandmother Ritter, and then it was Miller, had moved to Oklahoma City. And so she made Grace come down to Oklahoma City to live with her. And so she was down here, and she got a letter from my future grandpa saying, meet me in St. Louis and we'll get married. I mean, literally like the movie, you know.
That's so cool.
And so she took a train up to St. Louis and they got married. But when they're at the courthouse to get married, they asked my grandmother, how old was she? And she said she was 20. And they asked my grandfather and he said he was 18. And she said, oh, quit kidding around. And he said, no, I'm really 18. He had actually quit school 2 years before and had been working. So she thought he was out of school. I don't know why they didn't have better communication in such a small town. But anyway, and ever after that, she was embarrassed by her age, that she was older than him.
Oh.
So she wouldn't admit her age. And I remember once we were having a birthday dinner for her after my grandfather had died. And my parents told me how old she was, but they didn't say, don't say anything about it. So I asked her how old she was, and she said she was 39. And I said, no, really, Grandma. And she said, oh, I'm 39. And she wouldn't back off. And, oh, my feelings were hurt. I thought, what have I done? So I did learn to not ask her about her age anymore.
That's so interesting.
It is.
I wonder, it might not have been very commonplace for the woman to be older back then.
Right.
Maybe.
I think that's true. Otherwise, surely she wouldn't be so embarrassed.
Yeah. Interesting. They moved here. They got married in St. Louis and then they moved back here?
I think they went back to Mattoon for a little while. And then he got offered a job as a sheet metal worker, which I think he'd already been doing up in Illinois. And the job was in Oklahoma City. So they moved here and she was happy enough to move here. That's where her grandmother lived. And so then they lived there ever since.
That's awesome.
Let's see, my dad. Okay. They had to have been in Mattoon for a while because my dad was 3 when they moved. He was born in 1916, so they moved to Oklahoma City in 1919, and then they just stayed ever after and are buried here. There. in Oklahoma City.
I actually found their graves in the mausoleum at Rose Hill.
Oh, did you really? Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my mom has a spot reserved for her there, too.
Oh, that's sweet and also a little bit sad to think about.
I know.
Yeah. So Sarah, the fourth owner, told me that you had a bunch of memories with your grandpa building things in the garage or something.
Well, actually, that was my dad.
Okay.
I don't know what's still in the garage. When I saw the pictures from the listing, there was some large white thing in the garage, like a room.
It's a tornado shelter.
I wondered if it was. Is it still there?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Can you even get one car in the garage?
We don't park in the garage because we've got like work tables and stuff out there, mm-hmm. and also just like storage. But I do think it's small enough that you could get at least a car in the garage.
Okay. Well, that was pretty interesting to see that. So then I had some big shelves that I put in and a workbench in an L shape. Is that still there?
It is. Yep.
Okay. That's what my dad and I did. And it's kind of funny because my dad and I weren't nearly as close as my mom and I, or as he was with my sister, but we built that and we got along great.
That's fun.
And we just did it from odds and ends. I had a ridiculous amount of lumber. And so that's what we made out of it.
That's cool. Sorry, what was that last bit?
I said, I'm glad it's still there.
Yeah, it was very exciting for us to come in and have like a table and a workbench already. Do you have any memories being around your grandparents in the house?
Yes, although not very many with my grandfather, because he died when I was not quite 5 years old. Same month that I would turn five, but I was still only four. And I'll send you a picture. And I don't remember when the picture was made, because I'm just an infant really in the picture. But I remember when I was older, we'll say that I was four or less, sitting on his lap in a rocking chair that he had. And they called it a platform rocker. So slightly different from a classic rocking chair. And he smoked a pipe and he had a little pipe stand, which I don't know what happened to that, but a little wooden stand that he kept by his chair. And in it, he had a couple of toys. One of them was a rubber cigar, and he would push it like this, and a yellow worm would jump out. And I would always go, ah, like this. And then he also had two little magnets that were in the shape of Scotty dogs. One was black and one was white. And he would take a piece of paper and put one on the top and one on the bottom, and he'd move it all around. And I thought that was fascinating. So I remember being in his rocking chair with him. And that's really my main memory of him. But my grandmother lived for many years after that. So my grandfather died in 1955 and my grandmother died in 1982. So that's quite a bit of difference in time. And I remember her pretty well. We used to come over to her house, and this is so silly, but we would drive to the back, to the garage, and get out and come in the back door. And in my mind, she lived in the house next door to the, what direction is that? To the east, the one on the corner, kind of a Tudor looking house. I thought she lived there because we always went in the back. I don't know, like a kid and their thoughts, right? I don't ever remember going in the front door until I owned the place.
That's really funny.
And of course, most of the time I went in the back door because I was parking the car, but I did sometimes use the front door. Anyway, she had a fish pond in the back, and I'm sure it's still there underneath dirt, right? I could show you where. I will if I ever get by there. Anyway, my sister and I would go real quiet. We'd take real and walk real quietly over to the fish pond, because if you just walked regular, it would scare the fish. and they'd all go down to the bottom. But if you're really, really quiet, they would come up to the top and you could see them. My grandmother would feed them. She fed them oatmeal, if I remember right. And she would come to the pond, and she didn't have to walk quiet. She would wiggle her fingers in the water, and they would all come up because they knew it was time to eat. And she had great big goldfish about, I'd say, about this big. I think that's about the size they get in the pond, that of that size, because I had goldfish a number of times, and they got as big as this, but for me, they always died. So I had, you know, different generations of goldfish, but I think she did better with hers. So that was one of the things that we did. And the front porch, we used to play out there and play Rapunzel, let down your long hair, because it just seemed like a castle to us. Also, probably when it was too cold or too late to be outside, we would sit in the den, which is the room you're in right now. And that was my grandmother's favorite room. She spent most of her time in there. She closed off the living room and the dining room after my grandfather died and just hardly ever used them. I was probably in there 2 times before she moved out to go to the nursing home. So we were always in the den, and she had a big box where she kept every kind of toy that she'd ever come across and get it out for my sister and I, and we would play with the box of toys. It was a pretty big box, about, I don't know, not quite 3 feet by maybe 2 feet. Lots of things in there, all in a jumble. And she used to belong to a lot of clubs. And so they would have banquets and programs, and they always had table decorations. She would always bring home something from the table decorations for us. So we had lots of those little umbrellas that would open and close, and various flowers and streamers, and I don't even know what all we had, but some of them lasted and some of them didn't, but we always played with that. She also had magazines. My family, we didn't have magazines. I don't know why. But she had Life and Look and McCall's. And I would look at those, you know, Life and Look were just full of pictures. So they were pretty interesting, you know, even if you didn't know what they were talking about. But McCall's had paper dolls, had Betsy McCall paper dolls. And so she would let me have the paper dolls. And my favorite one was, I think it was Betsy's cousin had gone swimming and her hair was green. And I had her all cut out. She was my favorite paper doll. And my sister, when she was really little, probably, I don't know, year and a half, I don't know if she fell or climbed out of her baby bed and squashed my favorite paper doll, and she looked like an accordion. So let's see, what else do I remember? We used to go over there sometimes for birthdays and stuff like that, some of which I remember. And so then she'd open up her living room and dining room, but she mostly kept it closed off. Later, my sister lived in the house for probably a semester while she was in med school. And she kept the living room and dining room closed off, and we called it the apartment. Without the living room and dining room, it was the apartment. And she lived there for a semester. And then I think that's when my grandmother got out of the nursing home and came back home. And then she didn't last very long. And my sister, I think she'd already moved to Houston. I'm not sure. My mom and I were trying to clarify this last night, and we couldn't remember. Anyway, but I know when I moved in, it was March of 1979. And I kept the living room and dining room closed off too, and lived in the apartment. And then my sister came to visit one weekend, and we decided that the two of us together could open up the house and rearrange the furniture. So we did. And after that, I lived in the house.
That's so interesting, because I spend, so the room that's like directly east of this one, like on the front corner of the house.
North bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my office. This is Nate's office. So I spend most of my time between like that room and the living room.
Oh, yeah. You kind of skip the den because mm-hmm. luckily you can get through. One of the things I always liked about the house is the circular floor plan. Although I used to have to chase my cat sometimes around and around. But, you know, if I closed the door, that would end that. But it seemed like there was always another way to get somewhere.
It's got a good flow.
I like that. I really did. In fact, that's been something I've looked for ever since, is circularity in the floor plan instead of just a bunch of dead ends.
The house I grew up in, my parents got to design the house, and they designed the second floor to be like a big circle. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was part of why I liked this house, because it does sort of a similar thing.
We have a house that here is called a ranch in Colorado, which means that you walk into the main floor and then it has a basement, but they don't consider that two-story. Oh, well, but our basement is not circular, but the main floor is, and I like that quite a bit. So where did you grow up?
Indiana, southeast corner, like sort of by Cincinnati.
Yeah, you told me it's Indiana, I forgot.
Yeah. I liked it. So my dad was a mechanical engineer, and his company was based out of Cincinnati, but they had like a small satellite office in Norman, affiliated with OU. They did a lot of work with OU. So my freshman year of college, I went to a private college in Indiana and really didn't like it. And was like complaining to my parents one day, like, I don't feel like I fit in here. It's just very like small. And they're like, well, you should go to OU. And I was like, I don't want to move to Oklahoma. It's hot and flat and there are tornadoes. Like, why would I do that? But then my dad convinced me to come out for a visit and I really, really fell in love and then moved and stayed.
Well, I've only lived in three states, but I think Oklahoma has the friendliest people of the three states I've lived in anyway. Mm. I think the main asset is the people.
I agree with that. Yeah. So you, when we talked briefly before, you said something about the sonic boom testing. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think it was around 1964. I could be wrong on the exact year. But my grandmother had redecorated the living room and the dining room. I think that's all. But, you know, new wallpaper, paint, whatever she did. And then in 1964 or thereabout, she got some cracks. And she was really unhappy. And I remember her talking about it. It's those sonic booms. I know it's those sonic booms. And, I mean, everybody heard them. It's not like just some parts of town. They're really loud. But you knew that they were doing testing. I think it was at Tinkerfield. They were doing testing on supersonic jets. And they told everyone, yeah, there's going to be these big booms. And yeah, there were. And then finally the test was over. I don't know. It seemed like it lasted a number of months. But I was probably in junior high. I wasn't paying a great deal of attention to it. But I remember that my grandmother complained and thought that that was the problem. And many years later, I determined that their larger problem was no foundation under the very tall chimney.
Which collapsed, right?
It did. I was trying to remember exactly what year, so I wrote down a few years. Let's see. Okay. I did foundation work twice on the house. And in 1993 was the first time. And we had found out that there was no footing under there, and they were going to put a new footing under that, and then also the whole length of the west side of the house. And they jacked it up, and all the bricks came off. So I guess the mortar was really deteriorated, and I hadn't realized it. I'm sure you know that it's really hard to get over to the west side of the house that much. Somebody else's driveway, and it's only about a foot and a half in between. So I just didn't go over there. And at the time, my neighbors had built a fence, excuse me, a wooden fence, a stockade type fence across the driveway from my house to their house. And it had a gate with a lock. Which it took some doing for me to convince them that I needed a key to their lock since they had built across my property. I also, I don't know if you did any title work, but there should be an easement in the title. And that was for that circumstance. And then weirdly, before I ever even moved, the fence had fallen down and they took it out. Anyway, so, you know, just to establish that I wasn't letting them have that extra foot and a half, but I hadn't paid any attention to what it looked like over there. When I came, I got a call at work. We have a little problem. I'm thinking, that's what always happens. Every time I have something done, we have a little problem. All the bricks have fallen off. And I can't believe it. What do you mean, all the bricks? Well, when I got home, yeah, all the bricks. They were on my neighbor's driveway in disarray. And they didn't have any mortar on them. None of them. You didn't have to clean the mortar. It was gone. There was little bits of kind of sand on the driveway. But I thought, wow, I had no idea that was so deteriorated. Luckily, my neighbors took it in stride. I was pretty friendly with them. They were pretty nice. So I was glad they could handle that. It didn't hit their house, I don't think. It didn't seem to. If it did, it didn't damage it. Nobody ever said anything about it. That's good. So, yeah. Okay, where were we going with that?
The framing of that as like a little problem is absolutely hilarious to me, because that, like, that's a big problem.
I think so too, but nobody ever said we have a big problem. They always said we have a little problem.
Nothing to worry about. It's only going to increase the cost by like thousands of dollars.
Well, yeah, that's true, because I wasn't counting on rebricking the house, but I got to.
Did you have brick problems anywhere else in the house?
Well, it depends on what you call a brick problem. But I moved in 1995, but I didn't sell the house for another 5 years. But I did have a realtor come over because I was thinking maybe I should sell it. And I had a realtor come over and she was saying, oh, well, you know, this looks good and that looks good. And I told her I'd had the foundation work done. And that was probably 2 or 3 years before that. And she said, well, it looks good. And then we walk out the front door. And if this is, we'll call this the front door. And this, the little place with the tiny arch. They were 2 feet apart. Maybe not 2 feet. Maybe just, okay, 8 inches, we'll say, sorry. Maybe about 8 inches apart. It looked like a gaping hole. I said, what happened? So then I got to do more foundation work on the front part of the house. Different company, because, okay, you won't like hearing this probably. The first company I called them, because they had a guarantee, I guess you could say, of sorts. And they said, well, we'll come out and look at it. And they came out and called me and said, our guy says he doesn't want to touch your house with a 10-foot pole. So I called someone else and they came and did something. And I know that at least by the time I sold it, it still was looking like it was holding together. I hope it still is, because you don't want to see that kind of gap between one wall and another wall. Sorry.
We also had to do foundation work.
Okay, which side of the house?
Again, the entire house.
Well, that's probably better to do the whole house.
Probably.
Oh my gosh, what were the signs?
So there was like a slope in the floor, and it seemed like that side of the house, the east side of the house, was like lower, and it still is a little bit, because you can't like fully fix that. And there's sort of like a high point in the floor near the arch in the dining room.
Oh, that's different. The high point was always by the floor furnace in the hallway.
Huh. That's definitely like lower. And so when we did all of the foundation work, you know, there's cracks everywhere now that we have to patch. We did the foundation work like over 2 years ago, maybe. Nah, I don't think it was that long. Maybe like a year ago. And we still haven't fully patched up all of the cracks, because they're everywhere. They're in every room.
Well, is there a difference between the living room and dining room, which have sheetrock on them? Also, the bathroom has sheetrock, and the others were plaster. Is there a difference between those, between the sheetrock and the plaster?
So the guys who did the foundation repair, they were like, so you have like lots of plaster in your house, you're probably going to have big chunks fall down because normally plaster doesn't respond well. And we didn't actually have any large chunks fall down. It's just cracks. And there aren't very many in the living room. There's at least one big one in the dining room. There's a couple big ones in the hallway between like the dining room and the bathroom. And then the back bedroom has a bunch. There's some in the kitchen. But so like the dining room's pretty unscathed. And there's not very many in here.
What about the bathroom? It seems like it would, because I had it,
Charlotte, bathroom has been such a disaster. I had my mom over to paint 2 years ago, probably now. We're just going to do like a quick paint of the bathroom. She's an interior painter. It was going to be so easy. So there's like a, I know you've experienced that.
You have a whole problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the bathtub, it was probably the same bathtub that you had. It was like the cast iron.
Very old, and it's kind of extra long. It's not a standard size. Right. I believe it to be original. Yeah.
I think probably Doris, the person who lived here before us, put in like rails that you can like use to lift yourself up out of the bathtub.
That. Grab bars. Yeah. A really right. Long, kind of low too.
Yeah. So I
take the bath a lot. And so it's to get out of the bath instead of the shower.
Probably. So I was like standing on one foot on the edge of the bathtub, and then I just like rested my foot on the grab bar to like reach up in the corner, and the entire bar fell. The tile from that wall fell. It turns out there was a leak somewhere, and that entire wall was just wet. So it like collapsed. So then we were like, our painting job turned into, we have to rip this entire thing out.
Well, darn, that was one of my improvements, you know. I should send you a picture of, okay, when I moved in, it was 24 years of deferred maintenance, okay? Except my dad would, if something was horribly wrong, he would fix it in it. A not very skilled way, but it might work, but it might not look very good anyway. So it was semi-functional when I moved in, but I was taking a shower one day and I saw this big bubble and I touched it and sand poured out into the bathtub. So, you know, looking back, I realized what happened. I should have thought and not touched it. It wasn't tiled, and neither was the kitchen. The kitchen may still have this, where it's been scored as if there were tiles,
mm-hmm.
and they put some kind of special paint that was water resistant. So it semi looked like it had tiles, and that's what was in the bathtub area. And I guess all the sheetrock, there must have been a leak, and all the sheetrock had gotten wet. So as soon as I touched that little piece of paint, everywhere. So I had until I could find somebody to fix it, I put plastic over and taped it. It looks just horrible, but I can send you a picture of it. So that was actually the first big thing I did, was to get the bathtub tiled. And I did have work done on leaks, but I guess new leaks develop, don't they? I'm so sorry about that. You know, I did all of the wiring, so I hope the wiring's good. My dad always said the plumbing was good, except for when there were leaks. He said it was all copper. And I'm trying to think, what else? There's so many things. I had to put a new floor in the bathroom. Hopefully the floor is still okay. When the guy had come in and he took the toilet out and I went in and looked at it, there were just splinters of wood holding the toilet up. The thing that was actually holding it up was the grout from the tile. And that's not very secure. So I'm glad I got it fixed when I did, because somebody might have sat down and had a big surprise.
Oh my. So the sink when we moved in was like partially cracked and the toilet was like sort of functional. So we replaced the sink and the toilet. And when you do that, you have to retile also. So we left the tile that you probably put in and just tiled over it. So if we ever want to like fix the floor, it's still there.
Oh my.
Yeah, but we put in a pink toilet and a pink vintage sink.
Wow. Okay, you're going to have to take some pictures or something.
I will, yeah.
Pink, okay. So, while we're on the bathroom, my grandmother did some traveling after my grandpa died. She went first to Europe, and then later, a couple of years later, she went on a round-the-world tour. And so she saw all these things, and she just wanted to update a few things. I remember her talking about her bathroom. She'd seen some place where the paint was like a cloudy day. And it was blue. And as you went up, it got clouds. And she just had it in her mind, hired somebody. And it did not turn out like what she had in mind. She complained about it a lot. But that was what it was. You know, it was somebody's version of clouds when I moved in. And I eventually papered it. And I put the tile behind the sink. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if that blue and the pink would go that good.
When we got it, there wasn't tile behind the sink. It was like a board.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
When I looked at those listing pictures, I thought it still had that. Wow. I don't know. Oh, boy. Well, that's just the way things go, I guess. But I only have a little sliver of the tile, so you probably can't even. But it has clouds on it. The tile, it was all white, except that it had some decorative tiles that were two shades of blue clouds. And that's sort of a tip of the hat to my grandma, you know. And I'll send you. I don't have very good pictures. I realize I have pictures of me or my friends. I was looking for wallpaper pictures and stuff. Well, they have me or my friends mainly, and then wallpaper in the back. But when I moved in, it had most of the wallpaper. I don't know. It might have been from 1940. My mother said that what she remembered my dad telling is that when he graduated from law school and he was studying to take the bar, it was the summer of 1940, and his parents decided they were going to have a big party and redecorate the whole house. And so they were, you know, hammering and wallpaper guys, and he's trying to study, and he was so unhappy, and he'd have to go over to OCU to study. So we think a lot of things were done in 1940, but I don't know. Each and every room. My mom hadn't met my dad yet, so she wasn't as clear on the history, but there's some pretty wild wallpaper. The den where you're sitting had very wild wallpaper. I'll definitely send you a picture, although it has somebody else in the picture. But and then the south bedroom where I slept, and I saw you and your partner removing the wallpaper. It looked like the same stuff. Great big white flowers on blue. Is that right?
So that was, there were three layers of wallpaper in there.
Oh.
The top layer was like a stripe that I think was like, maybe this is the other room. That might have been like a red and a green stripe or a green and a white stripe. There were two striped papers.
The other room had the stripes and I said, it looks like a prison with bars.
Yeah, there was like a blue the bottom wallpaper in that bedroom was like a blue with white flowers, and it was so pretty. And I wish that we could have kept it, but apparently the walls had like cracked. So there were like lots of repairs over the wallpaper, that wallpaper. And then they
I see you guys in there. I've got the picture up on my computer.
Yeah.
And I can see that maybe you had removed some other wallpaper, and that's why it looks sort of odd. And also maybe where the cracks are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like if it had just been perfect, that blue wallpaper with the white flowers, I absolutely would have left it. But so much of it was like plastered over because there were cracks. So we couldn't leave it. We ended up, there were so many layers of wallpaper in there.
Was that the bottom layer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. We couldn't get all of it off, so we ended up having to like plaster the walls to try and get them even sort of smooth.
Well, it's kind of sad, but that picture you sent me is the best picture I have of that wallpaper. But I used to think, if I can ever get this house fixed up, I'm going to see if I can find somebody that can reproduce that paper. When I first moved there, I thought, this is the craziest place. I can't believe this wallpaper. I'm going to have to redo this. You know, the longer I lived there, the more I liked it. It grew on me, especially that bedroom. But I also got to where I liked the den. It had, well, you'll just have to see it. It had forest green and cranberry leaves and flowers. And it's pretty, you know, it's not really what you put in a small room. You wouldn't think, but I got to where I liked that.
This room, yeah, this room was like sponge painted in like a brown.
Sarah did that. It happened that I came by there one day when there was an open house, and I can't remember. It wasn't very long, maybe 2 years after I sold it to Sarah. Anyway, I went into the open house and her mother was there. Sarah wasn't there, but her mother was there. I said who I was and asked if I could look around. And I had seen she'd done several things, including, I think she put in central air. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have central heat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How come the floor furnaces are still there?
Great question.
Are they functional?
No.
Okay. Well, if I were you, I would never even try to get the one in the living room to work because it doesn't have a safety valve on it.
Okay.
Once it rained a lot in the night, in the winter, and it drowned the pilot light and the gas kept coming out, but I had the door closed so it didn't get into where I was. But I got up and I opened the door and I heard bubble, 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 and smelled so bad. Oh my gosh. So I went and turned off the floor furnace, aired out the house, and thought, I just can't use that furnace. It's too unsafe.
Wow.
But the one in the hallway is much newer, and it has a safety. But still, central heat would be much better, I'm sure. But you could probably repair where the floor furnace was, you know, with wood.
I think, well, yeah.
Much later from now.
There's so many things to do. You know, there's just a laundry list.
Yes. Well, after I sold the house, I had a lot of mixed feelings. So I sat down and I wrote down all the things I would miss. And then I wrote down all the things that weren't my problem anymore. And it was a much longer list.
Yep.
But I always loved the house. I still do. Even if I'm like, what happened to the landscaping?
I'm also mad about the landscaping. It was so pretty.
I can't believe it. I mean, I don't know. Doris must not have liked landscaping or something. I don't know. It was pretty, pretty carefree. It's not like you had to trim the bushes all the time or anything. I don't know. I didn't ever actually meet her, so.
Yeah. I was really surprised in one of the pictures you sent that there was like a full tree in the front yard.
Yeah. I planted it. First of all, it was actually, strangely enough, it was the third tree I planted. The first tree was a rescue which was probably a fool's errand, but they had dug up trees in the lawn at the OU Law School where I was working, and they were just sitting there. So I finally asked, you know, can I take this tree? Sure, you can have it. Planted it, and it just, it had been sitting there too long, I'm sure. Plus, who knows how many roots they had cut. But so then my mom bought me a tree, and it died within the year. So then the nursery replaced it, and it was doing well, I thought. But maybe didn't like it.
It looked like sycamore, maybe?
It was a sycamore. And some people really don't like sycamores, but I picked it because they grow fast. And I wanted a tree that got big.
Yep.
So maybe there, it was a poor choice. I don't know.
I like sycamores. I think they're pretty. Were there trees in the backyard when you lived here?
There are two really big trees. The biggest one was a maple right up at where the deck ends. So on the west side, right next to the fence with the neighbors, and just, what direction would it be? Just south of the deck.
Huh.
I have the deck built, and so they were either going to have to build around it or up to it. So they did up to it. And it was so big that if I did this, I didn't get all the way around it. Well, I mean, I didn't even get halfway around it. I couldn't even do the whole halfway. And then it had three big trunks that came up from it. My dad and my grandpa planted that tree, we think, right after they moved in. They moved in 1929. My dad was 13, and he helped my grandfather plant a little bitty tree. He said it was as big as his thumb. So his thumb was a little bit bigger than mine, but not very big. And it obviously took off. It was a very pretty tree. And then back in the corner in the backyard, so what direction that'd be? That'd be the southwest corner of the yard, not quite in the corner, just next to where the pond was a volunteer tree. So that meant they didn't plant it. It just came up. It was a mulberry tree. Is it not there either?
That one is there.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, it's not a seedless mulberry, and the birds love the mulberries in it, and then it makes them sick. So if you parked outside, you probably had purple sheets of mulberry poop on your car.
Yes. Yeah. So that tree, at some point it got cut down, so we've got like a big stump, but it is regrowing.
Oh my goodness.
And it has gotten very, very large at this point. There's not like a single trunk anymore. There's like lots of smaller branches, and I'm trying to like prune it so it grows up instead of out, because it really is seeming like it wants to grow out and just sort of take over. But it's doing well.
Well, it grows, unfortunately, under the power lines. And the power company has come out more than once while I lived there to cut it. But the first time, it was before I had a tree in the front yard, but I came home from work. And as I'm driving down the street, I go, it looks like there's a tree in my front yard. What is that? And it was all of the branches they had cut. And I didn't know. I didn't know the power company. I didn't know anything. I just went tearing back to the backyard and go, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they said, well, lady, this is in the wires. We've got to cut it. And I said, well, if you're going to cut it, would you mind cutting some of it where I want you to cut it? So they did. But, you know, it's a chronic problem. But they would just whack at it, and then it would just grow back. Okay. Go ahead. You had a question.
I was just going to say, so where your maple tree was, we have a willow tree.
I saw that, and I thought, how did they get something to grow there? I had seen previously, I don't know who cut it, but I know the tree had become sick. It had borers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to remove one of the three trunks that came out of the main trunk, and it had holes in it. So you knew, you know, it's no good. I took a branch like this into a Higdon's or somewhere. Anyway, from across the room, the guy says, you've got borers. It was really obvious, I guess. And frankly, the tree was too big to treat. I tried.
Mm.
I even had a friend climb up and try to coat the branches like was required. And I knew it wasn't going to really work. Anyway, cut down one of those. But I saw sometime later, just driving by, catching a glimpse from Lynn Street, and they had cut it all down and left a giant stump. I don't know how tall that was, 3 or 4 feet off the ground. And I thought, how did you guys get a willow in there? Or whatever you had. Was it there when you moved in, the willow? Or
did the willow was there, yeah. And well, it's pretty big now. It's like, I don't think I can get my arms around it.
Wow, wow. That must be a great spot to be a tree. But somebody would have had to bore that all out. Because you can't just grow into somebody's trunk. Wow. Somebody did a great job of that.
Yeah.
I'll give it one point for landscaping.
There's also a tree trunk next to the door of the garage. Was there a tree there for you?
No, what was there? There was a bush, I think.
It's a big trunk.
Is it towards the front of the garage?
It's, so I don't know if the door is in the same spot. So like the front of the garage where the driveway is, if you go around the right corner, we've got a door right there. And then just to the right of the door is the trunk.
Wow. No, I don't think so. But, you know, I happen to be sitting here at my computer. And I have a bunch of pictures and maybe I forgot something. I don't know. I could have forgot something. Let me look. No, all I see are bushes.
It's so curious to me that Doris must have liked trees, but only in the backyard.
Yeah, not in the front.
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's so strange. And I don't know her at all. You could somehow find her and continue your house history.
I may have found her. I think she really? Still lives in the city. So I'm going to try to get in touch.
Well, just find out, did she wish she lived in Arizona or what? Oh, she kept the lawn. So I'm glad of that. She didn't rock the yard or anything. Yeah. It could have been worse.
So what other problems were there with the house? We've talked about some of them. I'm sure there were more.
Okay. The garage is relatively new. It was built in 1987. I'll send you some pictures. I knew it wasn't too good. It kind of leaned two different ways. My dad thought it had not had a foundation under it, but it turned out he was wrong. It did. But it had those doors, the old-fashioned doors that open out like this. And they wouldn't close all the way because of how it was leaning. But I thought for a long time, well, it'll rain, it'll snow many times. But the garage is only going to fall once. And maybe I won't be in it. So I parked my car in the garage anyway. And at the time, that's where my clothes dryer was too. Anyway, you know, it was an eyesore without any question. But I don't know. There were so many other things I didn't know what to do. But when the neighbor next door east, the one in that kind of gothic house, they have a little shop behind their house. They ran a lumber yard out of. I don't know if it's still operational or not, but they owned a lumber yard. He sent a builder over to give me an estimate on a new garage because he was afraid it was going to fall. I thought, okay, I guess that has moved to the top of the list. So I knew some other people who had their garages torn down and rebuilt. And so I called a guy that was a reference. And he came out and he did a pretty good job, I thought. I was pretty happy. But I was on a budget and I got the cheap garage doors and the side doors. But before I sold the house, I got a new garage door and new side doors. So hopefully they're still all right. At one point, my mother suggested that I should move into the garage because it was the best room in the house.
Says a lot.
But so I hope that's still working. And then I only did a couple of things that were fun. So I did some landscaping. I put landscape timbers, which were really fashionable in the 80s. And I thought it would be kind of cool to have a built-up bed. And then on the lower part, I had it surrounded by monkey grass, and then daffodils would grow in the spring. And my grandmother's blue spruce bushes, she had one on each side of the door. You can maybe see that one of those old pictures. They were really lovely till they got horrible bagworms, and one of them half died and the other one was working on it. So I eventually took those out and redid it, put Yaupon holly and then Photinia on the ends, and they both prospered really well. But anyway, so that was for fun. And then I built the deck in 1989, and it looked like the deck was still there, although it looks sort of odd color wise, but it's redwood and it should last. Okay, that reminds me. There's a fence, maybe still there. It was there in the pictures from the listing anyway, between you and the neighbors to the west, the people whose driveway had all my bricks in it. When I was a kid, I remember going over to my grandmother's and her complaining, which is really kind of a theme. My grandmother complained a lot. And I loved my grandmother, but I wasn't as close to her as my other grandmother who lived way farther away. But as I lived in her house, I don't know, I just felt closer and closer to her. I can't really explain why, but she was a big complainer. So she was complaining about the man next door. Their last name was Walker. Mr. Walker is just out there making a mess and building a fence, and I don't like fences. And so I remember, because of that, him building the fence and him hammering. I could hear him hammering. And so that was in the 50s. We'll say 57, 58, right in there. I don't know if I have a way to tell exactly, but right in there. And then I'm there 50 years later and the fence is still standing. And I'm thinking, what did he do? Most people, you know, they have stockade fences, and in a few years, they're a little wiggly, and pretty soon they look terrible. Well, I started examining his fence. Well, first of all, he has metal poles in concrete, so no wood is touching the ground. And then he had redwood, and he wove it in horizontally. And, you know, it's not in as good a shape as it was in the 50s, but it's still there. So when I wanted to build a deck, the people who were going to build it, they would bid it if it was pine or more if you wanted something else. So I'm like, no, I want redwood. I want it to still be there in 50 years, even if the house has collapsed, okay? And so I got redwood. So when here in Colorado, we were building a deck as part, well, we built a whole house, but part of it was a deck. I wanted redwood. Well, turns out you can't get decent redwood these days, but it's still decent in 1989. So hopefully it will last.
It is definitely not in good condition. It's, I think it's, I don't know exactly where it's rotted, but there are lots of boards that when you step on them, they just like go to the ground. So it's on our project list to like rip some of those up and fix it.
Well, I noticed that the finish seemed to have been removed. I don't know why.
It looks like it was painted.
Okay. I had put on a certain finish that I could look up the name for you, but it came out beautiful. And I did it about every year and a half, but every time I did it, it got darker. And I don't know, maybe I don't know. I don't know what anybody did afterwards. The redwood is supposed to not rot, but hey, I guess it could be wrong. It could rot after all.
I think if you seal an outdoor wood with something that can like keep moisture in, probably like paint, that would probably speed up the deterioration.
That could be true. Well, this was some kind of a, seems like it was oily kind of a finish. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that in the pictures in the listing that the deck looked really pale. So I know somebody had at least stripped it to some degree, except right at this depth, which those were different steps than what I left there. But anyway, it was real red above the steps, as if they had taken all the finish off except there. I don't know. Well, gosh, the best laid plans, right? So then I did the bathroom floor in 1991, and I rewired the whole house in 1992.
That's very good to know.
It all started because I wanted a ceiling fan in the bedroom, which it looks like is still there. It's white.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway, it looked like it was the same one anyway, but I was dating a guy at the time who was sort of an electrician. And so he says, I'll rewire that for you. So he pulls out the wire and it looks like, oh, I can't believe I live here with wiring like that. I don't even know what they call it, but it was kind of a gray metal wiring with cloth, woven cloth around it. It was scary, but it's in conduit. If you go up in the attic, you'll, I guess it's still there anyway, metal tubes, kind of looks like a tarantula coming out of. And he said, well, you don't need to do that because it all comes in this stuff now, this plastic stuff. And I'm like, no, I want you to put it in the conduit. That's probably what saved my life all this time anyway. So he, in order to put in the ceiling fan, he had to rewire one third of the house because it was all connected. So that got me worrying. And so the next year I had an electrician come and finish the rest of the house. And he also put the electrical box outside. It may still be there. It's not that great of a place for it, but he said there wasn't enough room where it had been. It had been in the kitchen cabinet, the one right by the back door.
Huh. You
know, so there's a kitchen cabinet, a little bit of a wall partition, and then the door, it was in there. And he said it just wouldn't fit. So it was outside. And then one night, it happened to be right before Christmas, and I was wrapping a bunch of presents. It was late, and all the lights went out. And I look out the window. My neighbors have lights. How come I don't have lights? Well, somebody, I looked out the back door, and the lid of that was up. Somebody came by, and they had also disabled. I had a motion detector light. So after that, I locked the box. Anyway, so it has its downsides, but overall, the electricity was like a way a lot better. Also, all the light switches had been the opposite of what you would think a light switch would be. So usually you flip it on and you flip it off downwards. They were just the opposite. So if you wanted to turn the lights off, you went up. If you wanted to turn them on, you went down. And although I got used to it, I'm like, I'm not going to keep it this way. So hopefully that is all at least normal. Okay, then I built a new closet in the north bedroom in 1995. Before that, there was a little tiny closet. That was my dad's bedroom. And he lived there till he was 31. And he had this much closet. It was ridiculous.
Oh my. Okay,
well, you'll know exactly what size of closet if this is still there. In the bathroom, there's a linen closet. That used to be his closet. I just had him sheetrock the wall in the bedroom and open it up in the bathroom side and put a door on it. Actually, it's the same door.
That is a very small closet.
Very small closet. Till he was 31. Oh, boy. Anyway, so I thought it was a big improvement to have a linen closet. So then, of course, it needed a closet. So I built a closet in that bedroom and put cedar in it so that I could put my winter clothes in there. Okay, then I got a new roof, 1998. It's supposed to be a 25-year roof. So 2023, I don't know. You might need a new roof.
Good to know.
I told you that I put new garage doors on. That was after I moved in 99. And I redid the living room, including new windows and the gables. That was in 99. And then redid the dining room in 2000. And you know what? I don't think there's sheetrock in the dining room. I think it's still plaster because it wasn't in very bad shape. And it's the same. It's the original windows still, I think, in there now that I think about it. But it needed some work. Everything needed some work.
Yeah. All of the windows need work. They're only... Were they painted when you lived here?
Oh, sure. They were wood windows. And I can't remember now. What year was it? I can't remember right now. I've got a list. Maybe I can look at my list. But I priced getting new windows, replacement windows. Oh, it was out of sight. There's 25 windows and 2 glass doors. Ah! So I settled for storm windows, which was a major improvement. There had not been any storm windows there. Okay, that was 1985 that I put the storm windows in. It did help. But, you know, I was cold a lot and I was hot a lot. Hopefully with the central heat and air, it's not such an issue, but.
It's okay. The house stays moderately cool in the summer.
It's true.
On its own.
It does.
It does get drafty and chilly in the winter.
Well, just think what it was like without storm windows.
Yeah, so much worse.
Well, and every place where the plaster is still there, underneath it is called lath, I think. L-A-T-H-E, something like that. It's just boards, little open boards. And then, oh, there's the brick on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not much in the way of insulation. But I did have the living room insulated with the sheetrock and also the bathroom. So I guess I didn't do the dining room now that I think about it. Do you have a laundry room?
So we put the laundry in, like, right in the back door.
Okay. That was known in our house as the refrigerator room.
That's where Sarah's fridge was, too.
Yeah. Well, apparently, when it was built, it was very common still to have an ice box, and the ice man would come, and you would close the door into the kitchen and then have access. But they never did have an icebox in that house. They always had a refrigerator. So I don't know why they built it that way. Maybe that was just the standard plan. Okay, I have to tell you, if I didn't tell you already, I know I didn't tell you today, but I might have told you before, but not on tape, how they got that house.
Please do. You didn't tell me this.
1929. There's a new grocery store in town. I don't know which one. And they were having a drawing. And so my grandmother registered for the drawing. And the drawing was they're going to give away a new car. She won. She won the new car. And she said, well, we already have a car. What I want is a house. So she traded it for a lot. So the guy who owned that lot traded her for a car. I don't even know what kind of car it was, whatever it was in 1929. But I'm thinking, you know, that was a bad trade on his part and a good trade on her part. My mom told me just the other day, she thinks the guy who owned the lot was the builder and he may have built the house.
Mm.
I don't really know that for a fact, but that's what she was thinking. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a good trade. And then another kind of related story. My grandmother has some good luck and she also has some admirable qualities. So in 1929, you know, actually it's a really bad year to buy a house, right? The stock market crashed. They moved in August. The stock market crashed, I think, in October. But my grandpa had a job. He was a sheet metal worker. Actually, was he working for the union yet? No, I think he was still just the sheet metal worker. Anyway, he had a job on one of the buildings down at the Capitol complex. And they were doing all the sheet metal, which is the heating and air, I think, mainly. And they had a contract, and so he kept working, and he had a job till 1932. But then he didn't have a job for 2 years, no job at all. And they were having a little trouble paying the mortgage. So they were notified they were going to be foreclosed. And my grandmother took herself downtown and convinced them that they would be paying the mortgage, even if it wasn't right now, and not to foreclose. And I said to my dad, when he told me that, I said, how did she do that? That's almost impossible. And he said, your grandmother could be a very convincing woman. And I said, well, she should have been a lawyer. But instead her son was, and then I was. So
that's so funny.
But she probably should have been. If the timing had been different, perhaps she would have been. So she, you know, saved the house. They turned the backyard into a garden. They had chickens in the garage. My mom said that when she met my dad in 1947, they still had the chickens. They didn't have the garden through the whole yard. They just had it behind the garage, which is a great place for a garden, as you noticed. I saw that's where your beds were, at least some of them. But she said the second week that she went out with my dad, she was invited over for dinner, and they had chicken and dumplings. And she thinks it was one of the chickens. And she said that she thought that they were in the process of just eating up the chickens, and then they didn't ever get any more chickens. So
that is really funny.
Well, you know, it's become a little bit stylish now to have chickens again in your backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe not in your garage, but in your backyard.
During February of last year, we had a terrible ice storm.
Oh, yes.
And the neighbor on the west side has chickens and has had like goats periodically and has like rabbits and birds. Lots of animals.
I was going to say these are different neighbors than I had. They just had dogs.
Maybe, yeah. They do also have dogs as well. But apparently one of the chickens got loose and it was just like hanging out in our backyard. So we like bought some chicken feed, named the chicken.
Oh, what was the name?
Helena.
Helena, all right.
Yeah. So we got to hang out with a chicken for a little bit.
That's so funny. How long before? It must have been a while before they figured out their chicken was gone.
We talked to him at one point, and he knew that it had gotten out, but couldn't catch it. And it wouldn't let us come near enough to catch it. So we just put out the feed, and it balked at us occasionally and pecked at little things. It was really fun.
That's funny. What's the name of the people next door?
Oh, I don't remember. I'll have to look it up and tell you.
Oh, that's funny. Let's see. I took some notes so that I wouldn't forget important things, and now
totally okay.
Okay, I asked you, my mom, when did they dig the fish pond? And she thought it was probably right after they moved in.
Hmm.
Now, I remember my dad talking about doing that with him, with his dad.
How was it deep? How big was it?
If I stood in the very bottom of it, the water would probably come up to here. The bottom looked like a bucket, which that's what they had used as a form.
Huh.
And then the other part kind of went up like this. And so it wasn't nearly as deep, and it was a kidney shape. And so most of it wasn't real deep, but the bottom was, because then the fish could overwinter there. And they would. There'd get ice all over the top, and I'd go and crack the ice. But you could see the fish just immobile, but down in the bottom. And then the next spring, I only Sadly, I only had fish last over the winter once, but they did. My grandmother was better with fish than I was. Oh, my grandmother was a really good gardener. She really loved flowers. And she was good with gardening as well, but it's flowers were her true love. And I have only really bad pictures of the backyard in its heyday. But I might send you a few just to see so you can get an idea, maybe a general idea. But one year I went to the Bouchard Garden up in outside of Victoria in Canada. And there's an area called the Sunken Garden, and I was oohing and aahing. And then I turned a corner and I just stopped and I go, my grandmother has been here. It just, even as I say that, it gave me a chill. I'm like, this is the look. This is what she was going for. And when I got back home, my grandmother was already dead by then, but I asked my mother, did grandmother ever go to the Bouchard Gardens? Oh yeah, she sure did. Don't you remember talking about it? Like, well, maybe vaguely, but I'll see your picture and you'll see that by the time I have a picture, it's a poor imitation. But when she was in charge of it, it looked a lot more like that, except it had a fish pond in the corner. And my favorite scene, and I'll see, yeah, I've got a lot of pictures I can send you. I just don't know how many will come through on an individual email. So I may send a bunch of emails. But my favorite scene is when it snowed. I stand at the kitchen sink and look out to the pond in the backyard.
It's a good backyard.
It's one of the things I miss. Yeah. Even now, we have a great view, but I still kind of miss that look. Okay. We think, when I say we, I mean my mom and I, that every year my grandmother had my grandfather repaint the kitchen cabinets and perhaps other parts too. There were a lot of layers of paint. And at some point, and I don't know how much got stripped since I left, but there was a point at which you could see they had been red, they had been apple green, and then they had been white. And if this is still the same as from the listing pictures in the little breakfast room, there's the inserts in the door. I don't know. I guess it's glass, but it's got a little kind of almost like a snowflake design in it, I think. And then the other ones in the kitchen, those have been replaced with sort of a striped.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all the same. And somewhere along the line, they painted them.
The glass?
Yes, my grandmother did that. Maybe my grandfather painted it, but I'm sure it was at her direction. And I chipped it all off on one side, but then later I saw that Sarah had just replaced it, which of course is the easier thing to do. But luckily they didn't paint the ones in the breakfast room.
Yeah, those are still there.
I think luckily. Although, as I remember, some of the wood on that was kind of cracking or separating a little bit in the breakfast room. Not on the cabinets, but on the little middle part in between.
It's all painted. It was like a brown color when we bought the house. Or maybe it was white. I don't remember.
The listing picture showed it as white.
Okay. It's still white.
The kitchen was brown.
Yeah.
What color is the kitchen now? Is it still brown?
So we the cabinets on the bottom were in such bad shape and there were like holes out to the outside, like through the bricks in the back of those cabinets and like no insulation, raw wires. Mm-hmm. So we ripped the bottom cabinets out because they were disintegrating and put in just like Home Depot cabinets and a new countertop. So the cabinets are currently partially blue and partially green. I'm in the process of repainting them to green. And the top cabinets are just white.
And so it still has the ones where at the very top it opens like this, which I can't even imagine. My grandmother was never more than 5'2". And then as she got older, she got shorter. I can't even imagine what use those would ever be to her, but there they were.
I'm also 5'2", and they don't exist to me.
Right. You only put things you never need, right? Okay. That's probably, gosh, I've about got everything that was on my list. Except for how my grandmother got to where she couldn't stay at home anymore. But my dad used to come by every day. I don't know when he started coming by every day, but certainly by the 70s, he was coming by every day after work to be sure she was okay. And one day he got there and she was under the bed in the bedroom. In that south bedroom, the one you use as a bedroom, there were twin beds in there, and they had they weren't box springs. They were springs without any box, without anything covering them, just those springs. And somehow she'd gotten under there and tangled up. Her clothes were tangled up in the springs, so she couldn't get out. And my dad, who my mom has described as a bull in the china shop, would just yanked her out. And I remember seeing her. She was all beat up. Like, what happened to you? Well, she had bruises and scratches. And he said, well, it was from getting her out from under the bed. And he said, Mother, what were you doing under the bed? And she said, I was trying to save Marcia. That's my sister. Some men had gotten her and I had to protect her. So we think, uh-oh. My sister's in medical school somewhere, you know, many miles away. Not many miles, but at OU. Certainly not there. So he comes home and he tells my mom about this, and they decide to go back over. And this time she's under a table in the north bedroom. And they can see her, but they can't get in. She won't answer the door. He has to break in. And they decided, we got to call a nursing home. Well, first they took her to the hospital. She stayed there 4 days and then took her to the nursing home. And so this was in, what year would that be? I think I wrote it down. Like 76, I think. And I was in law school. And somehow she got it in her head that she was going to go to my graduation that spring. And my dad said, you cannot come unless you can walk. And she didn't want to try. She didn't want to do the physical therapy. But he convinced her, pushed her even. And then she could walk. And she got out and she moved back to her house and she came to my graduation. Now, I don't know how much of her mind was there, but she could walk. But it wasn't a lot later when she had to go to the nursing home, which is how I ever ended up moving in. Because my dad didn't want the house to sit empty. And I had been working in Lawton and moved back to Oklahoma City in 79. And he said, you can stay here 2 weeks. So I didn't even unpack. You know, the dining room was just boxes. And I just kind of, they left everything except her dishes. They left the pots and pans, which is good. I didn't have very many. Took her dishes and her toiletries and her clothes and everything else down to the knickknacks. And she really favored fancy porcelain dolls and fancy dresses. I just had lots of knickknacks. But my grandmother never came back. So I eventually settled in. I stayed there for 2 years, rent-free, which wasn't a bad deal. And then I just got the house urge so bad. And I started looking for houses. And I could afford very, very little. The best house that the realtor showed me, I came home that night and I was laying in bed thinking, this bedroom is bigger than the living room of that house. So I asked my dad, can I buy this house? And he said, oh, you don't want this house. This house is a mess. You don't want it. I said, no, I really do. Okay, crazy, I really do. And so that's what we did. And I was always glad I did in some weird way. You know, financially, not such a great investment, but emotionally, I really loved it, which is why I couldn't help but tell Sarah all every story I could think of. And I probably had some I haven't thought of today. But I'm just really thrilled that you have this interest, that you have the house, that somebody who would at least like some landscaping and is trying to fix it. I'm so glad.
Me too. So Nate and I had tried to find a house for months and months. And we'd put an offer in on one a little bit further north that was like very mid-century, had like parquet floors. It was truly beautiful. But they got another offer and went with the other one. And then we saw this one and I walked in and I was like, oh, this is the one. Yeah.
I'm so glad.
And after, like, we had seen so many disappointing houses, but so we walked in and then our realtor was like, I almost don't even want to tell you this, but the other offer from the mid-century one fell through. Do you want that house? And so we went like back and forth and I was like, this is the one that I want. So we ended up here.
I'm so glad. It makes me feel good to know that it's in good hands. Really,
but does. We're trying. We're trying. It is definitely maybe not the best financial investment, but yeah, emotionally, I felt like a very deep connection to it immediately, which is truly fascinating that it's had like this history.
Well, I had the thought that I would never leave, but I did. By the way, just to the east of the fish pond, which I assume that they didn't dig up the concrete, they probably just filled it in.
There is concrete still back there, and I never knew what it was. So, fish pond.
Fish pond. Well, just to the east of it, I believe, like immediately next to it, my grandmother buried her last dog. So if you should dig around and find bones, it's Sugar. Her name was Sugar.
Oh.
Apparently she was a great dog and she died either before or right after I was born. And my mother said, I'm actually kind of glad because she thought that somehow it wouldn't work out well. I don't know. Sugar was like a child, I guess, to them. Anyway, I don't know what wouldn't have worked, but somewhere I have a picture of Sugar, but I don't know what.
Man. We've covered so much. Real quick, I want to ask, you worked in Lawton. I found an article in an old newspaper about legal aid. Will you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Well, I'll start at the beginning since this is an oral history, right? I was a social worker for the state or the county, really, Oklahoma County, for their division of the welfare department, which was known as Department of Institutions and Social Rehabilitative Services. And they said that on the phone every time you called. And it was real people, you know, so like, Department of Social Rehabilitative Services, they were already in a bad mood by the time you said hello, you know. Anyway, so I was a social worker there and they took us to a training. And I had in my mind that, so I graduated from college and I didn't really know what to do. I've been a secretary for part of a year. Then I went to Europe. Now I'm a social worker, which is what I thought I wanted to do. And they took us to a training and they took us to the legal aid office. And the director was a woman. Her name was Al Rakestraw. So I asked her once, how come your name is Al? She said, I think my dad wanted a boy. Her name was actually Arthur Lori Rakestraw. And so she went by, her initials made Al. So she went by Al. Anyway, she gave a talk about how they were making the hospitals admit the poor people under the Hill-Burton Act. I'll always remember that. I never, ever dealt with the Hill-Burton Act in my whole career, but I'll always remember it. But apparently you couldn't keep your tax exempt status if you didn't accept poor people. So they were making them do that. And I was just fascinated. I was just thrilled even. And that evening, I got together with my boyfriend and I said, I want to be a legal aid attorney. And he said, well, I'll help you. Because he had just graduated from law school in another state. And he said, I'll get you the LSAT materials and tell you what you need to do. So I did, just like that. But it takes, of course, about then a year to get into law school. So that was probably October of 73. So the next fall, I was in the OU Law School, and I had lots of very high-minded ideas. And I got there and I'm thinking, well, how come nobody ever says justice? Nobody ever mentions justice. They always talk about money. I was really disappointed. And I didn't think my classmates were really very nice people next to, say, the social workers I've been working with, who wanted to know, how are you feeling today? Law students don't want to know how you're feeling. Anyway, I thought, I made a terrible, terrible mistake. But I didn't want to quit because my dad had kind of cursed me. He kept saying, why do you want to go to law school? Why? Every why I answered, he'd say, why? Again, like a three-year-old. And at the end, he says, well, you'll never practice. Finest moment in my life. I did not say, you mean like you, Daddy? I didn't say it. I'm really glad I didn't say it. But I did think it. Anyway, so legal aid was the only thing I wanted to do. So I applied. I got the job, but not in Oklahoma City. They're starting a new office in Lawton. Well, okay. I didn't have any reason why I couldn't go. So I went, and if there was sort of a struggle on certain parts of it, Lawton didn't really want to have legal aid. They had one maybe 10 years before, and the attorneys there started taking cases on the side. So they'd interview someone and say, oh, you don't qualify for legal aid, but I'll represent you for this fee. So they were, what I would call that, skimming. And so they were doing that, and their own board voted to shut them down. So they had a hostility toward them. But luckily, we somehow wormed our way in there. And that office is still there. But I'm not, because really, I just was dying to get back to Oklahoma City. So finally, I got a transfer back in March of 1979. So I went to Lawton in 1977 in October, I think. And then back to Oklahoma City in March of 1979. And they had me do the El Reno satellite office. So I had an office in downtown Oklahoma City in the Colcord building, which weirdly, that's where my dad used to office, in the Colcord building.
Wow.
And I believe it's one of the few buildings that made it through urban renewal. They were in the process of tearing a lot of things down just as I was transferred back to Oklahoma City. But they didn't tear down the call cord. But I would commute out to El Reno, I think, 2 or 3 days a week. I can't remember right now. And we eventually got a little office there. But before that, I interviewed people in the lobby of the courthouse. Say, don't talk really loud. Let's get over here in the corner. Get a little privacy.
That's funny.
But then eventually I was just in the Oklahoma City office. And then when Reagan was running for president, one of his things he promised was to abolish the Legal Services Corporation, which was where most of the funding from legal aid came from. And I thought, it's time for the rats to leave the sinking ship. And there happened to be an ad at OU for their clinic, which is legal aid at the law school, not part of legal services. So I left for that, and that became its own career for 35 years. First at OU, and then down at Texas Wesleyan University, and then at Texas A&M. And I'm sorry, you were going to ask me something.
No, you're totally okay. So did you work downtown after, like, during when they were tearing all the buildings down?
Yes. And then we moved from the Concord to, what was that called, the Linhart Building? No, I think they changed it to the Court Plaza.
Hmm.
It was much closer to the courthouse, so that was great. And I believe, I hadn't thought about this in a long time. I think it was when the building was first built, it was called the Cotton Exchange or something like that. Anyway, it was that Robert S. Kerr and Harvey, I think, very close to the courthouse. So that was handy. You didn't have to walk 6 blocks to the courthouse in the snow and the rain and whatever. Plus, the Concord wasn't on the underground system.
The concourse.
At least at the time. But I don't know. I think the concourse has gone through bad times. And I don't know if it's still there, but it was great when I was there.
It is still there. I don't know how many people who don't work downtown know about it.
Okay.
Because it
had flooding problems at one point.
Mm.
But it was a fabulous place. You'd walk down there, you'd see everybody you know, and you'd say, oh, let's go to lunch next week. And I don't know, I loved it.
That's really cool. Also avoided walking in the snow.
Right. Now that last building we were in, Court Plaza, that's what it was called. You had to walk across the street and there was a parking garage there and they had an entry to the concourse, but that's not very far. Not 6 blocks or anything.
That's cool.
I loved working in downtown Oklahoma City. I thought it was great. And I missed that. But I liked working in Norman too, but it was all different, but I liked it.
Man, okay. Is there anything else that you want to tell me that we haven't covered?
I'll probably think of something in about 5 minutes or tomorrow morning.
Perfect. We can totally do another one of these if you think of more things.
Okay, well, I probably won't think of very many more things, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope it's been helpful to you in your class. And let me know when I can access this in whatever way it's done.
I absolutely will.
And okay. I really, next time I come to Oklahoma City, I'm going to ring your doorbell.
Please do. Yep. Let me know.
All the things. Okay. Did you have to put a stackable washer and dryer in that breakfast
yep.
room? Oh, not breakfast room. Refrigerator room?
Yes. Yep.
So I think it was like 2 inches, maybe just an inch and a half, a little bit too narrow to set them side by side.
It was, I want to say there's like 4 to 6 inches on either side when it's stacked. So I don't think they definitely wouldn't have fit side by side. We also had to install like the.
Sure, the water.
Air and the water. Yep.
Didn't have any of that there on build for that.
Yep.
So in the listing picture, it had a stove and it had nothing to the right of it. Did you put something there?
So we're still working on that. When we moved in, they'd left the stove, but the oven didn't work. So we were like, this is annoying. Like, why? So we kept it for a while. And we got a refrigerator, but we didn't get a counter depth refrigerator. And that kitchen is pretty small. So in the last year, we got like a vintage size refrigerator and like a vintage size oven stovetop thing. And they're much, much smaller. And we've talked about like what we're going to do to make the kitchen more functional. And we've talked everything from like adding a little bathroom over where that little closet is in the hall towards the main hall, to like maybe cutting a hole into the wall into the dining room, and making like seating or something. So we haven't figured out like a good solution at this point, but getting the smaller and working oven and fridge have made it feel bigger.
Well, when I lived there, there was a gigantic gas oven. It was white. It was as big as the car. It was 1950 model oven. And it had a big space in the middle, which I used as a countertop. Then next to it was the washing machine, which was the biggest countertop of all. But my grandmother didn't have a dryer. She dried things over a little rack over the floor furnace. I did that for one winter, and I'm like, I hate scratchy towels. So my birthday present to myself was to get a dryer. But it was in the garage, so it wasn't too great when it was snowing, but it was better than I thought, than the little rack. But eventually I moved it into the breakfast room, which was not real attractive, but it was real handy. But I always thought, well, I wonder if I could take out just that little bit of wall, because it's pretty thick, 4 or 5 inches. Wonder if they would fit. And if it stuck out a little bit, it wouldn't bother me too bad, I don't think. I don't know. But I never did. I don't know. I always was like, oh, what's the next thing that's falling down? And it wasn't that. So I never got that part. Plus, to tell you the truth, I wasn't paid very well at OU. And I didn't have a second source of income. And I actually worked part-time jobs twice while I lived there. First at a restaurant, then at a department store. But those didn't make me too wealthy either.
Yep.
And in fact, I couldn't do some of the biggest stuff till I moved to Texas. I got a substantial raise when I moved to Texas. And I poured some of it into the house, although apparently it didn't last, but for the time being.
I think lots of deferred maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of generally in this house.
Well, plus the fact that at least part of it wasn't built well, with no foundation under the chimney. And who knows what long-term effects that has. I'm sure, I don't know. And even if you fix it, you didn't undo the effects.
Yep. Yeah, our floor is still like warped. There's still like a level difference, because the people who fixed it said we can't fix the wood. It's bent. The wood's just bent. Your floor is bent. So.
Wow. Well, it's interesting that it's bent differently than it was. You could feel the hump in the hallway near the floor furnace. And, you know, like nothing was plumb. It still isn't. Nothing's squared up. Part of the charm, part of the problem.
Absolutely.
I hope things go well and that you don't get too many reports of, oh, we have a little problem.
Same. Yeah. I'm hoping those will be few and far between from now on, although it seems unlikely.
Well, yeah, it does. But the fact that you put a foundation under all four sides, how did you get under the driveway? There used to be a foot and a half flower bed there, but I saw that they had poured a new driveway. It needed a new driveway. I would have left the flower bed for two reasons. One is that it's kind of a narrow driveway and you don't want to hit the house. But if your tire went off the pavement to the flower bed, it would give you a warning right away. And the second reason is my grandmother had it filled with daylilies and they were totally maintenance free. When I had the new roof put on, they squashed those down. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to put something else in it. And the next spring, they just came back happy as a clam. So they're very indestructible. They're probably trying to come up under the concrete, you know?
There's some in the backyard that come up next to the air conditioner.
Uh-huh.
We didn't plant them. They just come up.
Well, you know, they morph. They make more little bulbs, and they probably just went around the corner.
Probably.
It's not that far, because I'm trying to remember what was there. There was a Nandina there, but I believe that's where the compressor is right now. And there probably were day lilies. I'm just trying to remember now. I probably don't have a good picture. As I've been looking at my pictures, like, why didn't I take a decent picture of every room, every wallpaper, every, I just didn't. And then a lot of the pictures I took, they came out poorly. You know, it was all before digital cameras, and you didn't have any instant knowledge if you had a decent picture or not. But
yep.
Excuses. I do wish I had better pictures.
I'll send you a little piece of the blue and white wallpaper.
Okay. Well, I've really enjoyed this.
Me too.
I'd hate to say goodbye.
We'll keep in touch.